Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Friday. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. And as we always do on Fridays, we chat with the great, the wonderful, forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders, who is on the line with us. Hello, Chris. Good morning,
hey,
my friend.
Man, how y'all doing? How's y'all's weekend going? Pretty good?
It's good. I've been ready for the weekend. Late Predators game last night, but
nice.
They won, so it was good. We'll start with our question of the day with you. Most random celebrity run-in that you've ever had?
I think it was when my son was doing the Ray Charles movies, and I was on the red carpet with my son CJ when he did the movie. Morgan Freeman.
Oh, wow.
Morgan Freeman. And I always watch him on Electric Company. You remember Electric Company? You probably don't remember on PBS. But I actually met him, and just a great, great guy. He loved CJ, and that was kind of a weird run-in, but that was one of my heroes.
Wow. That's really cool.
That caught you off guard, didn't it?
Morgan Freeman. But I like that one. And he has a great voice, too.
Yes, he does.
So you're one of mine celebrities that I've run into.
I appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
When we talk about, you know, coaches and especially a first-time head coach like Brian Callahan and, you know, bringing in some familiar names, you know, sometimes Vrabel got a hard time for that. But I think in this case, you want to have people that you know that you can trust. He brings in Colt Anderson, a special teams coordinator who was with him in Cincinnati. Why is that important to bring some guys that you know right away from day one? They know you, you know them, and you can all be on the same page.
I mean, the thing about it is you just said it. Everybody's on the same page. And also, look at what the defensive coordinator said, Denard Wilson. He said this. He said, iron sharpens iron. What the heck does that mean? That means I got to rely on the other coaches to make this successful. So when you have guys that you bring in that you're familiar with, that you work together, everybody's on the same page, it's just a recipe for success. Because if you look at around the league, if you look at the teams that are successful, it's the teams that have cohesiveness as coaches. Because I remember, because I coached at Montgomery Bell Academy, I love Marty Eberhard, he said this, and this stuck to me, and it always will stick to me. He said, if we don't have it right in the meeting rooms, then how do we expect our teams to have it right? And I just love the attitude that he brings, and that's why I say everybody has a work together.
With Colt Anderson taking over, and I'll admit I don't know that much about him, but I do know that special teams is definitely an area that I think needs addressing with the Titans. We'll see what happens with kicker. They got Nick Folk last year, and he turned out to be pretty good, but he's obviously older, and so need to see there. I think Ryan Stonehouse is their punter for the next few years. But there's been virtually no return game, and there just needs to be more of that. And so how do you fix that if you're Colt Anderson and the Titans?
I mean, he's got to find the players. I mean, you can be the best special team coach in America. Alan Lowry was a great special team coach when he was with the Tennessee Titans. But look at some of the great returners that he had. He had Derek Mason. It's probably the best returners, one of the best returners in the league at that time. And that's what you have to do. I understand that, you know, last year it was just a debacle. You had situation have on punt return. You got two blocks punt against the Indianapolis Colts. So you just can't have that happen. But I think the key to the whole situation is he has to get the players in here. He's got to get a kick return. I know we got the punter, or we got to get a punt return. We got to get somebody that changes the game. And when you get a guy that changes the game, then it makes your job better as being a special teams coach.
All right, Chris, let me ask you this. I was watching this thing on Justin Jefferson just this morning at the gym about everything. What makes a great receiver? And let me preface this by saying they all can run a skinny post. They all can run a post. They all can run the routes. But what makes a receiver great?
You know, what it is number one, they got to be a great route runner. I mean, and this is what I get pissed off about, and I'm not trying to get all mad at everybody, but everybody sees a guy who runs a 4.3 or a 4.2 or a 4.1 and automatically classify him as a great wide receiver. That's not true. This is what classifies a guy as a great receiver. He has to have a plan. And when I say he has to have a plan, number one, what does he do with the line of scrimmage? Can he get the guy off the spot? Can he, you know, stack the defensive back? Can he burst off the cut? Can he run the correct routes? Yeah, you can make plays downfield, but at the end of the day, you got to specialize in making a plan in every facet of your game.
And that's great because, you know, Jerry Rice ran a 4.65, a 4.7, but he said, every time I leave the line of scrimmage, that ball is mine.
Yep.
Is that a mindset as well? Like, no matter what, you're going to fight for – Mike Evans said the same thing. I'm going to fight for that football.
Yeah, and that's a great point. Is yeah, they're going to fight for the football, but he prepares at the line of scrimmage. He prepares by studying coverage, and he prepares by understanding how to burst off the cut. Because at the end of the day, if you can't run routes, if you can't get the guy off the spot, if you can't do those things at the line of scrimmage, that ball ain't going to be yours because you're not going to make the play. So at the end of the day, you got to make sure you have a plan. And the funny thing that you brought up Jerry Rice's name, I was watching a special on Jerry Rice, and that's exactly what he said. He says, as a receiver, I have to have a plan at the line of scrimmage. As a receiver, I have to have a plan at the top of the route. As a receiver, everything has to be based off the foundation of how you're building.
Yeah, you go. I mean, and like one of my all-time favorite receivers is Art Monk. Art Monk didn't run a 4.3. I mean, he just got open.
He did. You create separation. This is what it is. When you're a wide receiver, you got to be a salesman. And that's all it is. You're selling something that you really don't want them to buy. So say if you're like, okay, you got this vacuum here, and you're like, man, this is the great vacuum. Behind the scenes, you're like, this doesn't work. That's exactly what you do as a wide receiver. You're selling something, but you're giving them something different. It's kind of like this. When I coach wide receivers at Montgomery Bell Academy, and we always say this, lie with your eyes. What does that mean? That makes you think that you're going separate, a different way than another player is. So that's how you have to handle the situation. You got to be a professional and do what you do.
Forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders on the line with us. So along those lines,
yes,
Treylon Burks is going to go into year three now, and we'll just say what it is. He hadn't lived up to being the first round pick that he was, and you know it's unfair to say that to be a replacement for AJ Brown, even though that was the circumstance. But there aren't many stories of guys that, you know, they struggle their first 2 years in the league or they battle injury or whatever, and then all of a sudden a light bulb goes off and they become an all-pro receiver. But when you look at him, you know the intangibles, you know the physical gifts that he has. What does he need to do to at least become, you know, your 1,000-yard just good receiver, whether it's a number two, which is probably what he is, for this team and for Will Levis?
You know, first of all, I want to say something. He has the talent. He can catch the football. He's big and he's physical. But here's what I do. If I was Tyke Tolbert, the wide receiver coach that they have now, and I'm going to give illustration to what we're talking about. I remember about 10 years ago, it was a guy named William Tanner who I coached a long, long time ago. And everybody was telling me how bad he was. Everybody's telling me that he's a good athlete, but he didn't produce on the field. So here's what I did. I told him, I said, meet me at 6 o'clock in the morning. And he met me at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I said, before you step on this football field, that old Tanner's dead. When you get on this field, this new Tanner's going to be alive. And I looked him in the eyes with no tic-tac in my mouth. I said, listen, I believe in you. And he looked at me with tears in his eyes. He said, that's all I ever wanted. And I said, if you trust me, you're going to be the best wide receiver in this league and be the best wide receiver to ever come out of NBA, Montgomery Bell Academy. And that's what happened. So the reason why I share that story is Tyke Tolbert, the wide receiver coach, needs to push the books aside, push the X and O's away, and sit him and look him in the face and say, everybody's saying that you can't do this. Everybody says that you can't make it. Everybody says that you're not tough enough. Everybody's saying that you're consistently hurt. But guess what? There's a new sheriff in town. I believe in you, and I guarantee you that a situation would change. And then another situation, look at the situation with Derrick Henry. When Derrick Henry was playing terrible, everybody was like, oh, he's this, and they were getting ready to cut him. Who talked to him? Eddie George. Yep. Eddie George said this. Say, hey, guess what? I hear what everybody's saying that they're saying about you, but guess what? I believe in you, and look at how his situation changed. That's what he needs. He needs confidence for somebody to believe in him.
You're like, there's a new sheriff in town. His name
sheriff, big dog.
Is Reggie Hammonds. Y'all be cool. All right. Damn, I forgot I was going to ask you now. I was on that.
You had to make your joke.
No, yeah, right. No, you know what I like, Chris, is like I see you post clips of your touchdowns, and I always like when you were in your position, when the guy peaked in the backfield for just one second.
Done. He's over.
And you're gone. And I was like, you think they would learn, stop peaking in the backfield.
You better. There was a term that they put on one of my rookie cards. If he's even, he's leaving. So if you peek in the backfield. So if he's peeking in the backfield, I'm already closing a cushion on you. So if you take one little hesitation, I'm gone. And that's exactly what DBs do. Because a lot of times, if you look at the DBs in the league this week, they're so focused on looking what the drop of the quarterback. The reason why they're peeking in the backfield is because they're looking at the drop of the quarterback, a three-step, a five-step, a seven-step drop, so they can break on the ball. But if they pump it and I'm even, guess what? Throw up the deuces. I'm leaving. So that's exactly what would happen.
And with you, let's see, you ran through the tunnel in the Kingdome. You had to jump over a car, a Buick Century in the end zone at Riverfront Stadium.
I know, yeah. Hey, when you got those jets, you can't slow down, baby.
Oh, but you got ups, too.
I can get up. No, I mean, I got some skinny legs, but, man, goodness gracious, I got calves. I can jump.
Chris, appreciate it as always, my friend. Man, have a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk next week.
I love you guys so much, guys.
You bye too, bye. Chris. Chris Sanders, forever Titans wide receiver, joining us here on the program. I remember that. Where was that? He had to jump? Cincinnati?
Yeah. They used to park, for some reason, like at Riverfront Stadium and Three Rivers Stadium in Pittsburgh. They would just, there'd be cars in the end zone. And here's, you know, Lynn Swann had to jump over one time in the end zone. But Chris also ran so fast that he went in that same tunnel that Bo Jackson did at the Kingdome because he couldn't slow down, man.
Oh, that is hilarious.
Hey, we got some more great responses on our text. We got one response on our text line about a random run-in that involves Barry Trotz, which is one of the greatest run-ins, I think, with a celebrity that I've read. So we'll get a question again. Name a celebrity that you've had a random run-in with that you still remember to this day. 615-737-1025.
615-737-1025. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.